We are reading the resurrection narrative from the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 28, and we'll be reading the first 10 verses. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and clothing as white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Father God, as you entrusted the message of the resurrection to those blessed women, Lord, we do ask that you will bless Debbie as she imparts the message of the resurrection to the disciples here in Forest Hill. Amen.
What an amazing day, and what an amazing message that we're reading from these scriptures. And I love this passage. I love listening to it being read again and thinking about the energy and the power and the kind of buzz that was there as you listen to the words being read. It's just kind of brimming with energy, brimming with life, brimming with power, with fantastic things, with amazing interventions of God. And I hope that as we read these scriptures again together this morning, and as we reflect on them and seek to hear what God is saying for us, I loved what Simon just prayed, the message that God has got for us, his disciples here in Forest Hill, today, this morning, that we will be aware of that same electric life and energy that is buzzing in this place. It's the same, it's the power that's telling us God is at work. God is on the move. God is doing things. God is doing things that are personal, that encounter individual people, not just something out there in the heavens somewhere that's so kind of distant and vague that it never really lands anywhere. He's doing something here and now with us, with his people in this room. That's what those women were confronted by as they met that empty tomb. Was God in time and space active to intervene in human beings' lives and change them so that they were turned upside down, so that the direction of their life that was set from the day they were born, and the things that would shape the destiny of a human being, your parenting, your education, your upbringing, your experiences, the things that happen to you along the way, the people that you engage with in your village, in your community, in your workplace, in your life, those things that shape a destiny no longer become the major factor of how your life turns out, because suddenly Jesus steps in and he meets you. He meets you at an empty tomb and he turns your life upside down so that those women are not grieving anymore. They're running with a message. They are declaring with confidence that Jesus is alive, and they give the whole rest of their lives to that same declaration of that message. They get into the early church together and they continue to proclaim day in and day out, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is alive. He changes lives. He impacts human beings. He turns destinies around. He makes things turn out very, very different from the course that they otherwise would have been on. And that's the God who's here this morning with us, moving amongst us, the God of the empty tomb. And as we were worshipping together in the first part of this meeting, I just had such a sense of just the enormity of this message. The enormity of the God who is infinite. The God who made this universe that we live in. And all the hundreds of millions of people around the world today, many of whom are lifting up the name of Jesus because they are celebrating together with us Resurrection Sunday. But even those who aren't doing that, all of these people in this world today, the God who made all of that, the God who was there long before it ever began, he is the God who lands somewhere in time and space, in a body on the earth, has parents and friends and real relationships, real ones. He knew those women. They loved him. He knew those disciples. They loved him. He loved them. He landed somewhere in time and space to engage with his people. That is the God that we worship. Far better than a distant mystical idea that never really makes a difference to our lives. No, Jesus stands at the empty tomb today and says, I want to impact your life. I want to change the things that are affecting you. I want to enter into the griefs that you are carrying. I want to turn around the pressures that seem to shape your life. We know that Jesus on the cross defeated sin once and for all. Is there sin in your life today? He defeated every bondage of the enemy in our lives. Are there areas where the enemy's got a hold of you? He overcame suffering and sorrow. He turned back the power of death on that cross. He reversed pain and brought healing. He dealt with disappointment. He dealt with bitterness, with discouragement, with fleshliness in our lives. You know, when we live life without the expectation of the Holy Spirit's filling and power. He dealt with sickness in our bodies. He dealt with abuse that has been suffered. He dealt with violence, humiliation, betrayal, fear, hatred. Any of us encountered those things in our lives? Any of us know those experiences? Jesus dealt with it at the cross. All of that was going on the cross. He was taking the power of those things that shape destinies and shape lives on paths of destruction and sorrow and pain and darkness. He took it all into himself on the cross. And as he died, he dealt with it. He disempowered it. He turned it inside out. And when Jesus burst out of that grave on resurrection morning, on that third day, it was with a mighty display of power that is enough to open up and deal with whatever tombs we have in our lives, whatever shut off spaces that contain all kinds of death and stuff that stinks when we open it up. The power he released on that day is effective and active and here for us this morning. Now, I know that we know, don't we? Human beings, we're good at having bits of our lives that are sealed off, like that tomb that we've been reading about. Bits where we know there's rotten stuff in there, decaying stuff, dead stuff, stuff that's going to smell. So we shut it off and we pack it away and we kind of try and get on with life sometimes. And I really felt as I was preparing this message and reading these verses afresh for this morning, I felt that the Lord was saying that today was a day where there were some tombs in our lives he wanted to open up and clean out and clear out and remove the deathliness and remove the stench. You know that rotten smell that sometimes seeps out in our lives, even though we're very good at trying to cover it up and seal it up. It comes creeping out somehow. The undealt with things, that list that I read. But Jesus was saying, I want to come and help you to open it up today and to clean it right out. Deal with it from the inside out, because Jesus was locked in a place like that. With a stone across the door, he was right on the inside of it, and from that place he burst out and cleaned it up. So it was no longer a rotten place, but a place that spoke of life and joy and power. I was thinking of a lady that I prayed with years ago. And she had one of these sealed off areas in her life, a bit of a tomb really. And it was to do with bitterness towards her father. Her father had been very violent towards her as a child. He was an angry man and he'd lost his temper and he was a violent person at times. And she was a very bright woman. And she had kind of lived her life on the basis of, well, you know, I should just be able to get over it. Just be able to get past those things that happened as I was a child. You know, it shouldn't really affect me. I'll just get on with my life. And she tried to do that. But every now and then, the smell of that tomb that she tried to seal off with all the bitterness and all the anger and all the unforgiveness towards her father festering inside it, every now and then it would come seeping out and creeping out into her life. And it started to happen more and more. And she would find that as she went to bed at night and closed her eyes, she would see violent images. Or if she came into a place of worship and was singing songs to Jesus, in her mind's eye, she was seeing horrible, evil images just overwhelming her. And she knew she had to deal with this tomb. She had to deal with this part of her life. She had to let the Lord into it. And finally she did. She brought it. She opened it up. In prayer with someone with me. And as she brought it out and as she faced it, Jesus stepped in and he cleaned it all out and he brought the power of his resurrection life to bear on it. And she was able to forgive her father and release that bitterness and find herself free of it in her life. And I remember, because it was so significant, she was able to allow him to walk her down the aisle on her wedding day, and she gave a speech on her wedding day, and she honored her father in that place, because it was such a sign of the healing and the freedom that she'd experienced from Jesus. These areas, these things that fester, they can be dealt with. The resurrection says so. It doesn't matter what it is for you in your life. The resurrection says so. And this morning, the Lord wants us to start to hold before him places in our lives, places in our hearts that we know have been sealed off from the transforming power of Jesus. And he wants us to let his resurrection life get in there, deal with it, and release us from it. And we're going to look at these verses to help us do that this morning. Because the first thing it requires, just like it did for these women, is it requires us to dare to revisit a place that might be painful. To dare to come back to a place again that is full of pain. Because, you know, those women, they were in the right place at the right time to receive a resurrection, weren't they? To find a resurrection. They were in the right place at the right time. They could have missed it. They could have been somewhere else. But they decided on that third day to come back to the tomb. I was really struck when I was reading the passage how in verse 2 it talks about this glorious angel who moved away the stone, and then it says he sat down on that stone. And I was praying and I was saying, Lord, you know, why was the angel sat on the stone? Well, you know, it's a symbol of power. He's conquered it, you know, he's moved it, and there he does, he's sitting on it. There's a sense of victory in that. But on a very practical level, he sat there because he was waiting, wasn't he? Waiting for the women, waiting for them to come. Waiting because he had a message for them. Waiting because God had sent him there with a massive supernatural sense of presence that was shining forth like lightning, that was like blinding white snow, his garments gleaming, something supernatural, something wonderful, something energetic, something powerful, something beautiful. Those women had to be there to hear it, to see it, to receive it. And in many ways, that tomb could possibly have been the last place on earth they really wanted to be. The last thing on earth they really wanted to revisit. It's painful. It's sorrowful. It's going to make us weep all over again, Jesus. Can't we just, let's just seal it up and leave it there now. Let's move on. Let's get on with our lives. Let's just keep going. We don't like to revisit our hurts and our sorrows. We don't want to unpack them all. Even with Jesus, we'd rather leave them there buried. But this day for those women was different. The third day, they woke up that morning, they knew they had to be at the tomb. They had to go back to that place. They had to encounter that place of pain again. In some ways, it must have seemed completely crazy. What were they going to do? You know, I was reading a commentary that said that it could well have been that the stone was so large it would need even up to 16 men, it said. Oh, I don't know how they judge these things or decide, but a lot of people to shift this thing. What did these women seriously think they were going to do by going back there? Who was going to help them? They went early in the morning while it was still dark. Dawn was only just breaking. There weren't going to be loads of people there. The only people they would expect to find were the soldiers who'd been positioned there to guard that place from exactly people like them trying to get inside it. That's why they were stationed there, isn't it? So the disciples wouldn't come and try and steal away the body. They were not going to let them get in. They weren't going to say, oh, all right, then we'll just put down our spears and we'll just shift it over for you. Why did they go? What did they expect to do? I don't know, but on that morning they woke up and they knew we've got to revisit that place again because something's going to happen. Something's going to happen this time. I don't know how it's going to happen, Jesus. I can't imagine it in my own imagination. I can't work it out with my own brain, but something's going to be different this time. And I think the key to them finding the resurrection power and life that they did find on that morning was that they went there looking for the right thing. In verse 5, these powerful words, the angel said to the women, don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. I know that's what you're looking for. That's why you're here. You're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. The crucified Jesus. And it's no good us revisiting our places of pain and sorrow and sin and bondage unless we come with that same expectation. You've got to come there looking for the same thing. The crucified Jesus, the one we've been worshipping as we broke bread and drank wine together, the one whose cross is the means of deliverance from all of that list of stuff that we keep locked away in our lives and hope that it doesn't smell too much. All of that stuff, we can revisit those things, but only if we're looking for the crucified Jesus. Because if we go there looking for something else, we will not find a resurrection. The angel said, don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid because I know why you're here. You're here for the right reason. You're here looking for the crucified Jesus. The Lord's saying that to some of us this morning. You can look at that again in your life and don't be afraid if you're looking for Jesus in the heart of it. The crucified Jesus. Because if we come looking for self-justification, if we come looking for being proved right, if we come looking for a magical fairy tale ending, that doesn't really connect with reality, if we come looking for decisions that were made long ago in the past to be reversed somehow, if we come looking for a human answer to the problems that we face, we're going to miss the resurrection power. You've got to come looking for the crucified Jesus. Because when we look at that, that's where we see all the stuff in our tombs being dealt with, dying together with him. And I want to invite us, just as I read some lyrics from that beautiful Godfrey Birtle song, When I Look at the Blood, I want to invite you just to close your eyes as I read them and think about your situation. Think about your tombs. Think about some of the stuff that's locked away in the depths of your lives that need some resurrection power. Let's all of us bring them before the Lord and look for the crucified Jesus, because he changes our perspective on these things. And whatever any of these negatives that you hear listed in these lyrics, whatever you see in your situation, know that Jesus has dealt with them on the cross. They've died with him there. When I look at the blood, all I see is love, love, love. When I stop at the cross, I can see the love of God. But I can't see competition. I can't see hierarchy. I can't see pride or prejudice or the abuse of authority. I can't see lust for power. I can't see manipulation. I can't see rage or anger or selfish ambition. When I look at the blood, all I see is love, love, love. When I stop at the cross, I can see the love of God. But I can't see unforgiveness. I can't see hate or envy. I can't see stupid fighting or bitterness or jealousy. I can't see empire building. I can't see self-importance. I can't see backstabbing or vanity or arrogance. When I look at the blood, all I see is love, love, love. When I stop at the cross, I can see the love of God. And I see surrender, sacrifice, salvation, humility, righteousness, faithfulness, grace, forgiveness, love, love, love. Because the love of God swallows up all those other aspects that make up our pain and our sorrow and our suffering and our pressures and our problems. They're swallowed in his infinite love. And that's why when we come to places of pain looking for a crucified Jesus, we can start to see there is a resurrection. There is some new life. There is something on the other side of it. This. There is a possibility for life to turn a corner from here on in. There is a new day that is starting to dawn. And when those women on that morning revisited that place of pain, they suddenly saw that the dawn was breaking. It says in the other Gospels, they came when it was still dark, but as they arrived there, the dawn is breaking, it says in verse 1. It was beginning to dawn. The light was starting to break through. It was a new day, a new week, a new world, a new beginning, something different from the day before. Something was changing because they went there looking for the crucified Jesus. And then they looked and they saw. And looking and seeing is all over this passage. And if you read it in the Greek, then you'll find that there's this word, behold, that comes up four times throughout these verses. Behold, behold, look, stop, take notice, get hold of this, look with your eyes, notice it. And the writer is writing this, Matthew is writing this so that we don't miss it as we go through. Stop and look and see. And there are four verbs of seeing throughout this passage. Because all the time as we visit a place of pain, we can be looking for Jesus, looking for the Lord, listening for what he's saying, looking for what he's doing, because the light is starting to dawn. And as they had the courage to face it, as they had the courage to go back to that painful place, they found that that tomb had turned from a place that contained death and destruction to a place that was just going to be a memory from now on in. Something had changed, something had been removed from that place. And it's amazing because even in the language of the Greek, in verse 1, they come to the tomb. It doesn't come out in our English translations. They come to the tomb, and it's the word in Greek, taphon. And that is the literal word. It comes from the verb to bury, to inter a body. They went to a place where there was a dead body inside. That kind of a tomb. But later on, why would they change the word? Matthew's making a point for us. Later on, when we get down to verse 8, there's a tomb again, but this time it's got a different Greek word. This time the tomb is the meneon. That means you can hear the word memory in it, can't you? You can hear where that idea comes from into our English language. Meneon is like a memorial place. So it can be used as a word for a tomb. But now it's no longer the literal place where dead things lie. Now it's a place where we remember. We remember the death, but there's a life that's come in between. There's no death in there now. There's no body in that grave. It's been risen up into life. Something transformed as those women went to the tomb. There was a change taking place that would turn that place of death and pain into a place of a memory and the place of life breaking through. There were other changes that took place. Two great things come up in this passage. The Greek word mega comes up twice in this passage. First of all, there was a great earthquake, a great shaking, but later on it's replaced with great joy. There's a joy in their hearts that shook them up in their lives and sent them running out and dancing with the joy of knowing that Jesus was alive. There's fear in this passage, fear mentioned twice as a noun, replaced with joy, and the word for joy comes up twice in this passage. The joy that they ran away with, the joy that Jesus greeted them with, is there. There was a transformation of fear into joy, and twice the angel says, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Things are changing. Stuff is reversing. It won't be the same as it was. It's a place of pain, but now it's a memory. And we move on into joy and life and no fear and excitement and energy and something different and a future that looks different. Why? Because Jesus has been at work. And when we look at our lives in the light of the cross, and when we stop and we start to look and we start to see and we choose to look at what God has been doing, we can start to find the light dawning and showing us he's already been at work. He's already been on the case. Before you even got there, the angel was waiting there to meet those women and talk to them about what Jesus had already done in the past. Your situation today, God is already at work. He's been doing things. It would be easy to miss it if you decided to stay home in your mourning or to just get on with your life and go about your business as usual. No, if you go back to the place of pain, if you look for the crucified man, you'll see the light start to dawn and you will open your eyes and see God has been at work. Jesus has been moving. His work has been effective. There was a great shaking and an earthquake, it says. That had happened before they'd even got there. What they saw was the effects of it. The ground shaken up, the disruption, the mess, perhaps. It made him look quite frightening, uncomfortable. Sometimes when we look at these areas of our lives, it feels messy and uncomfortable and disrupted. That's often a sign that God has started to be at work there. He started to do something. And very quickly, it was followed up with this angelic encounter. The angel on the tombstone, the lightning that shone from his clothing, the whiteness of his clothing that was like snow. Something supernatural was going on in that place. And if you look, you'll see it. If you look, you'll see the supernatural work that God has already been doing in your life, in that situation, in that sealed off place. He's already been doing something. He's put supernatural touches all over it. If you can look at your situation in the light of that new dawn, it may all look a big mess, but if you keep looking, you'll see the supernatural touches that God has left there. God's been around. It's not just a big human mess. There's something that's been shaken up so that God can be on the move. Look, look for it. The angel is there. There's a message for you. There's light shining for you. Look for it. We've got to be in the right place at the right time for the right reason. And then we find the angel says, Jesus, he's been here, but now he's moved on. He's been here, he's done some very important work, and now he's moved on. And the message for those women was, get following. Get following. Jesus has left this place now. You've just come back here. He's already gone. He's been at work. He's done some wonderful things. His supernatural power has been touching all over that difficult situation. But now he has moved on because he has got a life to live from now on in. There's a corner to turn. There's a new destiny. There's a new hope, a new destination. It's the destination that is where our lives come into the fullness that they were always intended to be in the beginning, where we bring glory to God with our lives, where we are worshiping him wholeheartedly, where light shines forth from us, just like it does from his heavenly messengers, and where things start to look a whole lot different in the light of his new dawn. Jesus has gone ahead and he's already walking it out, and he wants you to get on the move with him. Move out of that place again. Move on from that place again. Find where Christ has stepped onto. And as they obey his commands, as they listen to what he calls them to do, as they move out of that place for themselves, what happens? Jesus encounters them in verse 9. It's such a strong word there in the Greek. It's like a military word. It's like when an army goes out to fight and all of a sudden they're sort of ambushed by another army out of the blue. It's a strong sort of military meeting that happens. What does it mean? Well, the women were off trying to follow the instructions the angel had given them, and then Jesus suddenly steps in and says, I was here. I was here. Look, I was doing stuff over there, and now I'm going on this way, and I'm just letting you know I'm with you. Come on, let's keep going. Let's keep the energy up. Let's keep the pace up. Let's keep your life moving on. Don't fall back into that place of mourning again. Don't slip back into the place of sorrow. Don't head back to that grave anymore. We're going on. We're doing something different, and we're doing it together if you'll follow the instructions. And there were some instructions for those women, and I believe God wants us to take hold of these instructions for ourselves in our lives, because maybe some of us, as I've been talking, something's burning inside you and you're saying, I want to move on from that place. I want to move on from that place of pain. I want to move on from that place of sin. I want to move on from that place of bondage. I want to move on from that place of unforgiveness. I want to leave it behind. I want to find my fresh destiny, the new direction with Jesus today. And if so, then God has got some instructions for us. And he's saying to us, get active, get urgent, and get a hold of me. Get active. Get urgent. Yeah, feel a sense of urgency. We've got to get rid of our complacency. There's none of that in this story. The whole thing is brimming with life and energy. Those women arrive and now they're running from that place. They're running to go and tell those disciples what's going on. In fact, there's running all over the resurrection story, back and forth from that place. Encounters with Jesus. Angels saying surprising things. There's energy. There's life. Get active. Get urgent. Feel the sense that the Holy Spirit is moving, that Jesus is going somewhere, and I don't want to miss him. I don't want to be left stuck in a place back here when he's going on. He's got new stuff to do, and he wants me to do it with him. Don't let your life get stuck in a rut. Don't drag your feet. Go quickly. It says quickly, quickly, all over this passage. Go, 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 all over this passage. Running all over this passage. Tell people. Announce it. Talk about it. Talk about the stuff you are seeing God do in your life. You know, even if it isn't finished yet, for these women, the whole thing was not completely clear to them, but they saw something. They knew God was on the move. They'd seen a supernatural touch from heaven. Then they encountered Jesus in a really unexpected, surprising way, and they talked about it. They told those disciples. They went back. They shared it. They kept on sharing it. Even when they weren't believed, they were talking again, and Jesus was making it clearer and clearer, and helping them to understand as time went on, all the way until that day of Pentecost, when unequivocally the power of God fell from heaven on those disciples, and they were so supercharged up with the power of God in their lives that they went on speaking about him, speaking about Jesus, knowing that he was in that exalted place in the heavens with his Father. And that joy and that energy helps them to tell their story. Talk. Talk about what God is doing in your life. Talk about the supernatural touches that you see. Mention them. Speak about them. It was the instruction of the angel, and it's the instruction of Jesus to us as well. Go. Go and tell people. Go and speak about me. Go and share your testimony with one another here in the church, with those out in the world, with your workplace, with your family, with your friends. Talk about where God is touching you. Talk about where he's on the move. It's one of the instructions, and it helps us to leave behind the place of pain and move in to the resurrection life and power of Jesus in our lives, because that's where he wants us to live. It's not that we're never touched by difficult things, but we learn how to move through them with Jesus, because he's moving on and he takes us on and he helps us leave things behind and he gives us new strength for tomorrow. And great is his faithfulness. New every morning is his love and his mercy for us. So we rise up in the power of that, and we keep going with an energy and an urgency and a life. And the last thing I just want to say before we respond together. Those women, it says in verse 9, when Jesus encounters them unexpectedly, when he suddenly steps in, it says that they fell at his feet and they worshipped. They came up, they took hold of his feet and they worshipped him. You know the word in Greek for that is literally they overpowered his feet. It's got the word power and strength in it. They overpowered his feet. What do we mean? They threw themselves at Jesus' feet and they got a hold of him. They took hold of Jesus when they saw him breaking through in their situation. They took hold of him. They seized hold. They actively said, "Yes, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done. We want to keep with you now. We want to stay on track with you. We want to go where you go. We want to walk where you walk." And the energy, the decision, the exercise of their will is so important in our Christian lives. Please, please, people of Forest Hill, please let us not live the kind of Christian life that whispers a prayer every now and then in the hope that maybe God might be thinking and doing something for us, and then kind of wait passively for everything to transform and change around us, and then feel disappointed and discouraged when it doesn't, and then sit there and say, well, I knew he wouldn't really do anything anyway because he doesn't. That is not the Christian life. The Christian life sees Jesus and gets a hold of him and says, thank you, Lord. I'm going to throw myself at your feet. I'm going to give everything I've got to this. I'm going to exercise my heart, exercise my will, exercise my voice, exercise my feet, get going with the message he's given me to live out on this world. And that's the kind of Christian life that lives in resurrection power. The other kind is sort of sitting in the tomb place all the time and never really moving on. The kind Jesus wants is the kind that grabs his feet and hangs on to them, so that we always know where God is going and we want to go there too. We're going to go with you, Jesus. What are you doing, Lord? I want to do it with you. Where are you bringing your message? I want to help you bring it. I've got energy. I've got life. I've got purpose. I've got destiny. This is what the Christian life was always meant to be about. And Jesus' resurrection shows us that this is possible for anyone, even those from the greatest sources of pain and difficulty. A corner can be turned, and there is freedom, and there is hope, and there is victory if we will give ourselves in that kind of energized worship of him. And that's what we're going to do just for a few minutes together as we close. We're going to worship Jesus, not for what the worship might do for us, not the passive kind where we sit and wait to be zapped. That's lovely, and the Lord does it. He meets us in that place. But this morning, will you grab a hold of Jesus for that situation in your life, for that unanswered prayer, so it seems, for that place that you keep locked away and hidden, for that person that you're concerned about and you want to see the breakthrough of the Lord? Will you bring that before him this morning? And as we finish in this place of worship, will you grab a hold of Jesus? Will you grab a hold of him afresh? Will you sing your heart out, not because of what it is for you, but because of him, because of where he's going, because of where you want to be with him in your future? Will you join with me and do that? Because I think we're going to find some tombs cleaned out in our lives, some pain finished with, some corners turned, some new days dawning, because that's what the Lord was saying to me he wanted to do this morning. So let's do it together as we sing.